This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly.
And to be perfectly honest, you're in a position right now, and if you ask and they say no, you're in the exact same position. You're not actually going backwards. So why not? Why not ask? And I feel like every opportunity in my career, I've asked for.
Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist and founder of St. Jack Cosmetics. How are ya? I myself am riding a little bit of a high. About 2 weeks ago, I was sitting at home, bored out of my mind, and I decided I was going to take a little trip. And now I am in beautiful Brisbane. I used to travel overseas all the time by myself, actually, and for, you know, obvious reasons, I haven't done that in a long time. So I thought, you know what? Why not? I've got some travel credits. Why not book a beautiful hotel and make some plans to see some friends and, of course, meet in the flesh some of the incredible artists who, through the brand, I've built relationships with over the last year or so. So I am recording this from my hotel room, which just so happens to be one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever stayed in. But for legal reasons, I cannot tell you where I'm staying because they did not want me to do this in here. YOLO, what they don't know won't hurt them. Anyway, earlier today, in this very room, I was joined by the spectacular Penny Antoine. In case you don't know Penny, and I would be very surprised, she is one of Australia's most in-demand editorial and fashion makeup artists. She's got 18 years experience and she's worked for that many brands that she would probably lose count, some of which are like Prada, Dish, Sabo Skirt, Country Road, Dickies. I could list them for hours. She is a regular at New York Fashion Week. She worked on the Fenty Puma show. She's worked for Marc Jacobs and Zimmerman. And in 2017, Penny was named as a friend of the brand to a brand that hadn't been launched yet. And she was tasked with helping launch one of the most successful makeup lines in history. A little brand you might know is Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Wowee, what a bio. There were actually a few moments where I was sitting in this beautiful room. I was talking to Penny and I couldn't believe, like, what is my life? I have just loved Penny for so, so, so many years. And then I was delighted to find out that not only is she extraordinarily talented, she's kind, she's insightful, and she was so generous with her time. So I've decided to break this chat into two parts so that I don't have to cut anything, so that you can hear the whole thing go down and you can enjoy it, because there's a lot to learn and some really amazing stories that had my jaw like on the table. In part one, today's episode, you will hear how Penny got her start in the makeup industry, mastering the art of networking, and how an email launched the trajectory of her career onto a path of a fashion artist's dream. So buckle up, baby, you know, start cleaning those brushes, start going on that walk, because these stories are phenomenal. The audio quality on this one isn't as great as I'd like, but we have done our absolute best and I'm sure it won't bother you. That is enough from me, honestly, Beth. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Penny Antoine, part one.
Penny, welcome to Behind the Brush.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here too. Yeah. We are in an undisclosed location,
it's
but we are together.
Underground.
It's very underground.
Do not disclose the location.
It's very secret. So in our secret location, we'll jump in.
Let's
and the
jump
first
in.
Question I ask everyone is, what did you want to be when you grew up?
This is weird because I feel like I've always had this like artistic thing about me, but I don't think it ever really came into my head to be something like that. This is going to sound really weird. I always wanted to be a mum.
That doesn't sound weird at all.
From this, like, I never had career ambition ever. As a child, like, I was always like, I'm just going to have all these kids and that's going to be me. And I don't know why. Like, I tried to think back and go, oh my gosh, did I actually have something that I wanted to be? Was there something? But from the youngest age, all I can remember is wanting to be a mum. And then I had kids and I was like, what the...
I made a huge mistake. You did it, man.
I did it. I'm so successful. So, yeah, my life goal was, like, achieved at 23.
Amazing.
And it's all been downhill from there. No.
Here's hoping they don't listen to this then.
They know I love them very, very much. But I feel like once I had the girls, so I've got two daughters, one of them turns 18 this year, which is...
insane.
That's a vibe.
Yep.
Totally not having an internal meltdown about that at all. Feeling very old. But I think, like, once I had them, that's when I got this kind of drive. Not to have more or be more, because being a mum, I think, is the hardest, most consuming thing that you ever do. And it's definitely life-changing on every single level. But I felt like I just kind of was like, oh, cool, I've done that now. I'm enjoying it, love it, still love being a mum. But I wanted potentially something more.
Yeah.
And that's when I went freelance. It was actually when I was pregnant with Geordie that I went freelance. So it's probably been 18 years.
Wow. So what were you doing before you got pregnant with Geordie?
I was a beauty therapist.
Right. Yes. So is that like doing skin and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So I was managing a salon when I fell pregnant with her. But I was also doing, so I was doing facials, waxing, tinting, massage.
Everything.
But I was doing makeup as well in the salons. So that particular salon was my best friend's sister's salon and I was the manager. I helped her set it up. I was like really involved
in it.
That's
pretty full on at 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I was like 21 or 22 when I started doing that for her. So I was young, but I'd also been a beauty therapist for quite a few years. I did it at the same time as year 12. I did night school. I feel like I'm a big overcommitter, and I feel like I always interested in the makeup side of it, though. But I think when I did beauty therapy, I did that because I didn't know you could be a makeup artist back then. That was like the 90s, late 90s.
Definitely. I feel even... for me, when I was thinking about it in like 2014, 2015, it still wasn't even quite there.
Yeah.
And I didn't see when I was trying to find my career path, you know, that that was an option. I thought, no, I just really love makeup. That's not like a job.
It's a hobby.
And that's exactly why actually I do this.
Yeah.
So that people can find their way through. Yeah. Because it can be tricky.
It's interesting though. Like even, so my daughter graduated middle school last year, so end of grade 9, she's gone into grade 10 this year, and they go to like a prep to grade 12 school, so they have junior school, middle school, senior school, so they did like this little graduation at the end of middle school, and they showed this video about careers and things like that, and I was like, awesome, surely we've progressed. Watch, at the end of that video, I was gobsmacked, because I was like, where's the artists? Where's the fashion designers?
Where are the creatives?
Where are the creatives in this supposedly inspiring video about getting a career? And I just think I really feel for the children who don't have creative parents, who don't know that there's other options out there rather than going to uni or being a doctor or a lawyer or all these kind of mainstream things, which I think there are lots of people out there who love those careers and those jobs and have that ambition. But I also think there's these creatives at school who are just like, what is there for me? Because I don't kind of fit into that box, or I don't want to head down that road of uni or whatever. And I just kind of think that was definitely the way it was for me at school, because I didn't really realize, oh, you can actually be an actual makeup artist.
Yeah, at the time, makeup artistry was probably more limited to, you know, you'd know that in movies and TV, theatre potentially, and glossy magazines.
And bridal.
Yeah. And that'd be it. Like, no one was getting their makeup done.
Not just
for their birthday or things like that.
Well, even for our year 12 ball, formal, I did, like, my friends' makeups. Like, I think I did 6 of us.
Yeah.
And then I did my own. And it wasn't something where you went down to Mecca or you got an artist and she did like a whole heap of your friends. Like, we didn't even get our hair done. The amount of people who, like, I have friends who are artists who get booked out all weekend for event makeup, and these people are just going to a party and spending big money.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I'm like, yes. Because back in the day, like, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll go down the road of beauty therapy because that seems like I like skincare. I like going to the chemist and looking at all the products. Like, I guess that kind of was a thing. And then my parents had an opportunity where one of their friends' daughters signed up for this beauty therapy course, but then couldn't do it, but they wouldn't give her a refund. So my parents bought it off them. Oh. Yeah, so it was almost like serendipitous.
I know, it is.
Like, oh, I guess I'll do that and overcommit and do grade 12 and all my uni subjects and also do this at night school and all day on a Saturday, plus work a part-time job. Cool, love that. Plus all my extracurriculars. Like, I play piano and flute and did sport and, yeah.
So she doesn't stop.
She doesn't. But she's learning.
she's learning. And we love that. So tell me then, if you were pregnant with Jordy, stopped working at the salon, and then that's when you decided to go freelance.
Yes.
So I guess what was happening there where you were like, all right, I'm going to go down the freelance makeup route?
So what I started doing was I started doing some treatment stuff at home too. So I did waxing, tinting, and makeup application, and I did nails as well. So I was a nail tech as well. So I used to do like, just like, my husband was like at TAFE and uni at that time. So he'd like make friends with all the girls there and they'd come get their nails done.
So good.
Yeah. Like, and then a few of them like started getting married. My cousins started getting married. My best friends started getting married around that time. And then I started doing the makeups.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, I need to start charging for the makeup. Because you know when it was like, I guess I'm good at it, but it's a hobby.
Correct.
And it's making that kind of decision of like, yes, it's fun, but also it's a skill that I have that I should be charging for. It was a really hard hurdle, I think. And I think a lot of people still struggle with that hurdle of knowing your worth, because you're like, oh, but it's fun and I really love doing it and I like making people feel good. But then there's that awkward, and now I'm going to charge you. I think I was charging like $60 back then.
I still have it sometimes when people I know book me for things. And then it's like, oh, well, are they expecting this at like a maid's rate or, you know, less so right now, because it's like, no, sorry, no more value. Like, it's fine.
It's a definite.
But it was hard in that transition. Yeah. I remember doing that and I was doing the same thing. I was doing makeup on friends, like just to go out, or, you know, if my mum had a, you know, special thing that she was going for, and you would never charge them. And then I got to the point where for me, I actually started shifting when I got frustrated when it became an expectation. Yes. And it was like, if you're expecting and wanting this, it means that you see the value in it.
Your house.
Yeah. No, that's not happening.
But
yeah.
It's funny, like, knowing your worth like that. My very best friend in the entire world, we've been best friends since we were 8. I think I started doing her makeup when we were like 12 or 13, with all of her mum's like fancy Estee Lauder and Clinique.
Bougie.
Like, yeah, she was like well bougie in the 90s. And so she would have all like the fancy makeup and I had all like the cover girl.
Yeah.
Like full gross stuff. And so I'd go to her house and I'd like do her makeup. Still to this day, she won't let me do her makeup without depositing money into my bank.
Love it.
And I feel like she's the one who respects what I do. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a level of like respect, like there's no expectation. She's always like, oh my gosh, would you do my makeup for that? Totally fine if you don't want. Like, I feel like she's always the one who I'm like, there is no way you're paying me. Please do not put money. And she's like, oh, sorry, I've got your account number. You can't actually, like, go change your bank accounts. Good luck. You know,
it's
like,
it's probably her attitude though, you know,
that makes you want to do it. And yeah, I feel like it's always the randoms, I think, who expect it.
And you're like, who crop out of the woodwork, who you haven't spoken to in a really long time, and you're like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, I could have a paying client, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I feel like it's my good friends who actually are always, like, trying to pay to do it, you know? But I think that's nice. Like, it definitely gets to a point where you go, all right, this is beyond a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job, and then you actually have to change your mindset into a business mindset.
What did that look like for you?
For me, it looked like this needs to be worth spending time away from my children. Therefore, any time away from them needs to have some kind of profit, whether or not that's a networking profit, because early on there's always a moment of opportunity that you need to take over payment. I still think that's a thing.
I agree.
I definitely believe that networking is the only way to succeed in this industry as a photo shoot makeup artist, which is what I do, because I don't do event or bridal. I only do either fashion weeks or photo shoots. So networking is key. I always say it's definitely not my skill. It's who I know, not what I know. I definitely feel like a lot of my opportunities have come purely from knowing somebody. Like, I really believe it. And keeping those relationships strong, I think.
I wonder, do you feel, and this can just be your observation, that now, you know, in this day and age, there's a billion makeup artists, you know, all over Instagram, whatever, and we all see them, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We love them. I love you
guys. There's room for everyone.
There is room for everyone. It's I truly big believe world. That. But in this day and age with Instagram, TikTok, and all this sort of thing, do you feel like people have lost that art a little bit, the networking art, or they take it for granted?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like also there is so much emphasis put on, oh, I have to have the numbers on social media to be a success. And I think there is a level of importance. It does play to me. I think it's a small part. You know, it's a great place to showcase your work. It's a great place to have, you know, a place to create and show your skills, but in the actual world of the fashion industry,
doesn't mean anything really.
Zero.
So I do more special event stuff. I think I would find that my clients do search those hashtags, and that's fine. And I think, you know, I've got to put myself in a different mindset to talk to you about it, because it's not something that I'm familiar with. Yeah. So if you were starting out doing makeup, you know, on people that you knew, and then you're like, no, I'm going to make this profitable, it's going to be worthwhile, I'll be away from the girls, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. What clicked in you that you knew that you wanted to do fashion and shows?
So I feel like I always had a little toe in the door. When I was younger, I did a bit of modelling in Perth, which basically means I never modelled, even though some of the biggest models came from Perth. I feel like it was a mild modelling moment.
A triple M.
A triple M. That's it. And I think I mean, my mum put me in like grooming and deportment classes with Dean Selby. If anyone from Perth is listening to this, she's iconic.
I got to Google this. Yeah. Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
She used to run these classes, and it would be like how to do your makeup and how to, like, you know, you never go anywhere with wet hair. And they started doing all these little like modeling parades and things like that. And then from there, I was with Chadwick's for a bit, and we did like some bridal modeling. I was in some David Jones. I wasn't it wasn't Maya. It was like a Hearns. It was, I did like catalog work for them or whatever. Anyway, it was a very mild moment, but in those moments, I loved watching the makeup artists. I was like the worst model in the world, because that always like, Penny, come and do your job. And I'm like, I just want to watch them do the liner. Like, you know, I was into it. Like, I was really obsessed. Like, I used to wag school and go to the MAC counter. Like, I loved makeup, but didn't know that it could be something more than that. Even though I'd been around makeup artists, didn't think that maybe that could be, maybe I thought they did it just for fun on the weekends or, you know.
Well, again, it probably goes back to the fact, you know, the same video you were talking about before, but like 20 times worse.
Yeah.
You know, back then, because you have the pathways that you're meant to go down.
Yeah.
So I'm curious then, how did you, like, what was the first thing that you did as like a shoot or a show?
When I had the girls, I started, because I'd done that modelling moment for a few years, that I still knew everyone in the industry. So my agent was still an agent. She still is now to this day. She still is with Chadwick's in Perth.
Wow.
So it was one of those things where I think it would have been after I had – it was before I had Jamie. I started doing – I went on Model Mayhem.
What's that?
Exactly. So it's basically the MySpace era.
Right.
So I was on MySpace. It was the very, very, very early stages of any internet, social media, kind of anything really. And there was a thing called Model Mayhem, and it was like an online platform for models and creatives to connect. So I met a couple of really interesting photographers. We did some questionable shoots with questionable aesthetic.
Oh my God, amazing.
Amazing. I live for it. And then it was after I had Jamie. So it was about 2007. I dabbled in a few photo shoots, kind of met up with my old agents just to kind of go, look, I'm thinking of doing this makeup thing. I do bridal. By then I was doing quite a lot of weddings and kind of event things and doing a fair amount of makeup, I guess. And then I saw on the TV an ad for Perth Fashion Festival. I remember it would have been early 2007. So Jamie would have been about 6 months old. And I was like, bingo, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
Because I used to do the parades in the shopping centres when I was younger. And I used to do in the city, they'd have the fashion parades for all of the, this season's latest from Katie's or whatever.
rip.
And I remember going, I think I want to do the makeup for that, because I remember on those parades, the bridal parades and shopping centre parades, there were always makeup artists. I remember hating the makeup though and going, I'm going to go change
that. I could do that. Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to call them. I called the number on the TV ad.
I mean, sis, if you found someone in 2022 who's just going to call the number.
You just got to call.
You got to do it.
And I called them and I was like, I'm just calling up to inquire who does the makeup for your fashion festival. And they said, Bobby Bujicic. And I was like, excellent. Do you have his phone number? And they're like, no, we cannot give that to you. And I was like, how do you spell his name? So I looked him up in the phone book. And, of course, it was an obscure name. He was the only one in the phone book.
Yeah.
And I cold called him and said, hi, my name's Penny. I want to be a makeup artist. I would love to help you on these fashion parades. I've heard that you run the makeup team. I said, I'll be happy to, I'll shine your damn shoes. I'll wash your brushes. I'll get you coffee. I'll hand feed you almonds. I'll do anything. I just would love the opportunity to be backstage. And he was like, let's have a coffee. I was like, awesome. I met up with him. Turns out he was the makeup artist who did my first ever test shoot when I was about 15.
Wow. And he recognized you, obviously.
He was like, I know you. I was like, I know you. He's like, did you used to model with Chadwick's? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I used to do the makeup for the test shoots with Chris Hazard. And that's a photographer who's still around in Perth now.
Yeah.
And he was like, sweet, show me your book. I had the worst portfolio in the world. I think coming from a little bit of a modelling background, I knew that I needed a body of work to show.
Yeah. Which would be so different for anyone now, because they just whip their phone out.
Exactly.
This level of organisation shows the kind of hustle and determination that I just need everyone to kind of harness now.
I know, because I feel like you see, you go onto my Instagram now and go, oh, yeah, another makeup artist. And I feel like you don't see any of that. You don't even see the work that the new artists are doing, behind the scenes of, hustling and creating all this content. I was there, at the photo, printer place, printing off, big A3, photos to put in this really pitiful portfolio. There was some feather lashes in there. Let's all be honest, it was shameful. But he obviously saw something in me. I don't know what that was, but literally gave me the opportunity of a lifetime and said, no, you're not going to be assisting. You're going to be on my team. He's like, I'll give you, the opportunity. you'll either sink or you'll swim. And I guess I'm still treading water.
No!
Like I'm still out here.
Oh, my God, that makes me emotional. That just sounds like it was meant to be,
definitely,
that it all worked out.
And I learned everything from him. Like, the way I did makeup was very different before I worked on his team to after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the point of, like, using Napoleon sticks to matte face and body.
Right.
Like, and from there, it was like my entire world opened up. From there, I met other agents from agencies. I met all the models. I met photographers backstage. I met, like, hair stylists from Melbourne. I met everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And photographers are like, oh, let's do a test shoot. Okay, cool. Oh, I like this model. Let's use her. Next minute, my portfolio was looking a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then I think in a small town, it is such a great, like, opportunity, because you're, like, you become, like, a big fish in a small pond. And there are some ace models who started out in Perth who love coming back for Christmas. So there's always, you know, the West Australian STM who wants to shoot, you know, Gemma Ward or Nicole Tranfio. And just so happened, I got to do a lot of those really amazing people early on, which helped to really build my portfolio of work really quickly and really early. Like, I feel like if I was in Sydney, those opportunities just wouldn't even be offered to someone with the level of experience, low level of experience that I had. But yeah, I definitely was fearless in terms of, like, I really wanted it and I had no shame. Like,
this is,
like,
a big thing for me. This really is.
My kids won't even get on a phone call with anyone nowadays.
And that horrifies,
like,
me.
Terrifying.
I am really big on being willing to put yourself out there and to fall flat on your face and to ask questions. Like, I wouldn't be sitting in this room with you had I not had that, just willing to have, you know, I have no shame.
Well,
if you say no, you say no.
But I always say that. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly.
And to be perfectly honest, you're in a position right now, and if you ask and they say no, you're in the exact same position. You're not actually going backwards. So why not? Why not ask? And I feel like every opportunity in my career, I've asked for. And I feel like I've manifested so many things that, you know, you say it, it'll happen.
Yeah.
You say it that many times, it'll happen. If you can really visualize yourself in that moment, it'll happen. And I feel like every single moment that I've wanted in my career has happened. But not through lack of me just sitting back and letting it happen. Because I really want that, so I'll ask. They say no, okay, maybe that won't happen, or maybe I can go around that no and make it happen some other way.
And you always can, I feel. I think the difference is, and what I'm hearing, is that, yes, you can manifest things because you want them, but that will only happen if you can align your actions. So, for example, what we were just talking about before, okay, this is a networking profit opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the room with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to knock their socks off. I'm not going to make money. In fact, I might end up spending it on some shit for my kit that I don't
definitely
have.
Spending money.
Yeah, so we've all been there, but it's like, if you don't make those choices, it won't turn out the way it has
no.
for you.
I so agree.
Yeah.
And when I look back at my career, that moment of Perth Fashion Festival, and then I was on that fashion festival team for years.
Mm.
That led me to key a show for Ellery. They did a trunk show in Perth, where no one's ever done a trunk show in Perth where they show their new collection. It's always in Sydney or Paris or, you know, like it's – and Kim Ellery is from Perth originally, and she's like, well, I just want to do one here. I ended up keying the show for that purely because I'm in this, like, little –
you were
pond.
In the bubble. Yeah.
Like, I'm in a little bubble. But then from there, New York Fashion Week only happened because I asked a question.
So let's talk about this.
Mm.
Take me to New York with you. How did this happen?
So looking back, I really have no shame.
I love it.
Living in Brisbane, we've lived here for 10 years now. It was a really great career move, I think.
Right, because we've skipped over that. So
yeah,
what,
we've skipped over the
what,
old...
made you want to move here?
All of my husband's family is here.
Okay.
So we used to get FOMO in Perth we had the only grandkids there for a while, and Mick's he's one of seven. So, I mean, now there's 40 immediate family at Christmas. It's a big, fun family. It's epic. And we used to always get FOMO because we'd see them doing family events with all the grandkids, and we would feel like, oh, we want to be a part of that. So we ended up making the move over here because really it made sense anyway to be over East to do more in my career.
Sure. Mick's a creative as well. He's a photographer, right?
Yeah, so he's gone freelance now. Before that, he worked in the aviation industry.
Right.
So he used to do that, which was another thing, which is, it's all very, I don't know, I feel like I get really lucky in my life where everything just kind of works.
Well, I was actually going to say to you before, it's like the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
And so with him working for Qantas for so many years, that was also the key to me being able to do so many international opportunities.
Because you could do friends and family.
Yeah, friends and family. So
that's a discount, by the way.
Staff travel where you are very stressed out of your brain because you're on standby. But
I'm going to manifest this right now. I'm a single lady, and if there's anyone listening who knows a Qantas pilot, let me know.
Come on down. Manifest that. It is absolutely a game changer for me, him working for Qantas, because without that, I don't know if we could have afforded to have taken those leaps of faith, which we'll get to in a minute. So New York Fashion Week, it was funny. We were living in Brisbane. I'd done Sydney Fashion Week. I was on the Maybelline team for quite a few years doing Sydney. Love doing a show. I think because that's kind of where I feel like my career started there.
Yeah.
I feel like that was that moment where I was like, I'll sink or swim. And other artists out there, you either love it or you hate it. You either love being backstage or you hate it. Like, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And I totally get that, but it's definitely for me. I love the feeling of seeing a production come together, the music, the beautiful outfits, the models, like the lighting.
Like the whole vision.
Oh, I love it. And it's like a couple of minutes of all this work gone into just like a couple of minutes. And I don't know, I just love the feeling backstage. I love it. Not everyone loves it. So I felt like I kind of had this taste of Australian Fashion Week. I had done Melbourne Fashion Festival as well. And I was like, I'm never satisfied. So I was like, you know, the big, I guess, four is, you know, New York, Paris, Milan, London. Like, that was always a dream of mine to do the circuit. And I've been very lucky to do Paris and New York. And before, you know, that was kind of, I didn't really have any kind of connections, you know, and I feel like everything working backstage is connection. But then Brisbane had like a beauty expo, and they were flying out this New York makeup artist called James Vincent. A few of you may have heard of him. He's a big deal, like, in the makeup industry. He's got a lot of networking, like, he knows everyone. He was coming out to Brisbane, and I was like, and having said this was like, I was pretty deep in my career. I reached out to him. I sent him an email.
When was it? 2014?
Would have been around then.
I went deep on that Instagram, baby.
He was coming to do a thing, and he was coming to do like a masterclass or whatever it was at this beauty expo in little old Brisbane. And I sent him an email just out of the blue, found his email on the internet somehow. I don't even know. I think he had a few options, so I sent an email to all of them. Hi, I'm Penny. I'm a makeup artist in Brisbane. While you're here, if you need an assistant, happy to offer my services. And he wrote, and I sent that email, and I was like, he's going to write back to me. Like, he's going to write back to me every single day. I said out loud in that damn mirror, James Vincent is going to write back to me, and I'm going to assist him in Brisbane. Well, it was a few weeks, but I got a bloody email back from him.
Yes.
And he was like, I don't really need an assistant, but I would love you to keep me company while I'm in Brisbane.
Oh my God, that's even better.
I was like, perfect. And he asked me where to get a haircut from and where to do this and do that. Anyway, on the days, he's like, you're welcome to come along. And, you know, like, he ended up having me kind of, like, I was on stage with him doing stuff, like demonstrating and,
yeah.
If he needed something, I ran and got it. Like, and I still feel like I would do that, you know, when there's an opportunity, no matter how long I've been doing makeup for. I feel like when you can see that it's going to help you learn or progress in a certain way, I feel like you have to put all ego aside and just, I don't know, I feel like being teachable is the ultimate key to progression. Like I
think that's so amazing because I know I look at you this way. I know so many others would look at you like she's the queen. Like she's got it. So, you know, and
the fact that you see that. I'll let
you know. I'll let you know in a few years. But it's just like to hear that coming from you, knowing that there would be a million people who would kill to do that for you, to hear that you are still willing to learn and have those experiences, that is so inspiring because you can imagine that there would be plenty of people in this industry who are like, not made it, say ya, I don't help anyone, don't need to learn. Like, that's not it.
I feel like there's, like, that's what you said before, where there's actually no destination.
Mm.
It's all a journey.
Yeah.
And I think I don't actually have, okay, once I do this, that's it. I've made it as a makeup artist. Like, I don't think of it like that. I really enjoy doing makeup.
I think
and so I don't think that I ever see an end.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I think that that makes you a true creative, right?
Mm.
Because artists, if we think about it as like a painter,
yes,
they never thought, oh, I'm going to make it because I've done, you know, this painting. You just keep going, you keep evolving, you keep learning. Yeah.
And you change as well. Like how I do makeup now is very different to how I did it 5 years ago, as I did it 10 years ago, as I did it 15, 20, you know.
100%.
Yeah. And so I think having a really open mind to just going, you know what, I'm going to put myself out there and really, you know, make an opportunity for myself. Like I think that's when the path, that kind of like path starts paving itself. And from there, like I assisted him and at the end of that, I think it was 3 days he was here. We got along so well. He was amazing. Like he's truly like family now. He was like, are you ever going to come to New York? I was like, if you ask me to, I'll be there. He's like, sweet. Do you want to be on my New York Fashion Week team? No props. I was like,
oh my God,
hold the phone. Like, you know, it even still gives me goosebumps that like, that was a moment that I was like, I've been, you know, wanting this for a really, really long time. That was always a goal of like, I would love to work New York Fashion Week. Anyway, turns out he was like, sweet, I'll put you on whatever shows you want to. We normally do a certain amount of shows. Just let me know when you're coming. So then from there, I was like, sweet, Mick's got Qantas.
Thank God.
Because when you do New York Fashion Week, you do not expect to make any money.
No.
And it's more of like clout or just a portfolio situation where, you know, it's an experience that is definitely going to build your skills and make you a better artist, really, because you're in a pressure cooker situation, like, you know. It's the only way diamonds are made, right? So I was like, sweet, I'm going to go to New York. And Mick was like, sweet, off you go on your little staff travel. And before I went, though, I reached out to other agencies and other people who I thought could give me opportunities while I was over there. So I reached out to a makeup artist called Jodie Boland, who is originally from Perth. We love a Perth connection, anyone from Perth. We're always like, oh, well, now we're best friends. Okay, awesome. I reached out to her because I know she keys Zimmerman. So she used to key the Zimmerman shows in New York. So I emailed her, said, I'm coming over for New York Fashion Week. Would love to be on your team. Obviously, don't expect to be an artist. I will just come and assist. Don't expect any payment. I'm just going to be there. I'm just going to try and do as many shows as I can. She was like, oh, my gosh, you're on my team. I love your work. You're getting paid, like you're just on the team. And so the first show I ever did was Zimmerman in New York.
Oh my God.
Which is like amazing because it's an Australian brand with an Australian artist. And she was like, you know, we do Australian makeup on this show. Like we do like Australian makeup. We're not doing a cake face. We're not doing, you know.
Especially in 2014, cake faces were really strong.
There was a lot of brow.
Yeah.
There was a lot of brow action happening.
deep breath.
Oh, it was Anastasia was.
Yeah, she's happening. Got a lot to answer for.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really happening. And then at that particular, my very first New York Fashion Week, I booked 10 shows. So I did some shows with Maybelline while I was there. I did shows with James Vincent and, yeah, did Zimmerman. And it was the most incredible experience. I went with one of my really good makeup artist friends. He's based in Sydney. And we did this whole New York experience together. And it was honestly surreal because it was like one of those things where I flew in and I was like, this is happening. Like, this is really happening. And wow, how did this happen to me? And then when I really think of it, I go, oh, it's because I always ask.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the only reason. If I hadn't have asked James Vincent, like, can I be your lucky for a weekend?
But I also think it says so much about your character and your humility that you are willing to just ask these questions. Mm. You created this for yourself. Nothing fell into your lap. Yeah, this would not happen. Well, I mean, everything you've just described to me isn't necessarily luck. It's the fact that you presented yourself in this way where you're like, I'll do anything you want just to be around the aura is enough.
I agree. And I think you have to be that person where you will be under a desk at a table at New York Fashion Week painting toenails.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to be in that position, you don't deserve to be there, I don't think. Because it is a really coveted experience, I think, for a lot of artists. Like, for editorial artists, I feel like it is a coveted experience.
Yeah.
Because that's probably my biggest question that I get, like the most common question, how do I get to do Fashion Week?
What would you say to somebody who asked you that today right now?
Hustle.
Hustle?
Just ask. To me now, it's so easy to find out who Keys shows. It is so easy. Everyone is accessible. And even if you don't want to reach out to that person directly, which I would not recommend, it's so easy to find who their agent is. Reach out to their agent. Like, I feel like it's on a platter. Back in the day, I was like scrolling through the white pages to find Bobby Bugisic's name.
I think there'll be some people listening to this who don't know what the white pages are.
Oh,
which is terrifying. Which is terrifying, but true.
Terrifying. I don't even know if my kids would know what a white pages is. And I feel like back then I would be like rummaging through Vogue's to find out who the makeup artists are. You know, it used to be right in the middle of the editorial. It'd be like in the spine and you have to like rip it open and see who the artist is. And often it would be sponsored by MAC.
Right.
So a lot of the artists would be, you know, makeup by so-and-so using MAC. And I feel like I used to have like a lot of those, you know, like it would be like Amanda Reardon and Noni Smith and all these artists who would do Vogue back in the day who I'd be like, oh my gosh. And even now, like, a lot of people don't even know who they are, but they're still smashing it. They're still killing it. And they don't have a huge social media presence, but they are so respected in the industry. And I feel like that's my goal. I don't really care about, like, how many people like my posts. I don't really care. What I value, I think, is the real industry people going, oh, my gosh, I love your work. Like, Ray Morris sent me a video the other day, and Ray Morris is Ray Morris, right? Like, back in the day, I had all her books. Like, she was a real makeup artist, like, and she would do all those amazing editorials. And I feel like she sent me a PR package and sent me a beautiful video saying how grateful she was that I tag her, like, and use her products. And to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's all I want. It's like, she was like, I just love your work, Penny. And for someone of that caliber to respect that me respect in the industry, it's worth more than some random liking my post who really doesn't know what the industry is about and doesn't even really know what good is. Because often my posts that do really well, I think, are the most basic, worst makeups ever.
But that's
and the interesting ones, no, they bomb. Like, no one even cares. And I'm like, do you guys realize how hard that was to, like, do this painterly, like, you know, creative look But, you know, it's speaking to the masses on social media, whereas I don't want to appease the masses. I want to have respect in the industry that is always going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like social media is quite flippant, and I feel like it's going to be on to the next thing. I even feel like Instagram's a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Instagram is on its way out, obviously. TikTok is on its way out.
Speaking of TikTok, I just posted my first video yesterday. I've had the account for years.
This is so exciting. Every time somebody gets on TikTok, like Tennille has like upped her game on TikTok, I reckon, in the last 2 weeks. Next minute, she's killing it. Mm-hmm. Like born to be on that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm born to be on it.
Well, time will tell. We'll see.
I'm rolling in the background, but here we are. Even my daughter was like, yeah, Mom, get it. Go on TikTok. Woo. And she even commented, I feel like she told me she put me on mute on Instagram at one point. So she's definitely not interacting with me on Instagram, but is very excited that I'm on TikTok now.
Oh, you're cool now, Mum.
Oh, yeah. Like, they learn everything off TikTok. So if I hear one more time, oh, my gosh, on TikTok I saw this thing, I'm like, guys.
You sound like everyone I know. Or, wait, no, don't eat that. I've just got to get a video of that before you.
I've just got to get a video
for TikTok. Yeah. I literally did that before you came in.
They're like, oh, my gosh, can you buy me all of these ingredients? We're going to make this thing that I saw on TikTok. And it's like... Oh my gosh, is it going to be a fail? Cool.
It's fun. Love it.
Yeah, we love it.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my chat with Penny Antoine, part one. Some of those stories you could hear me reacting honestly blew my mind. And while I know that, you know, the stories Penny was talking about at the early stages of her career when she was really hustling quite a few years ago, there is a lot you can take from her attitude, her approach, and her humility and apply it to what you want to do in 2022. Stay tuned next week for part two, where Penny tells us how she came to work with Rihanna and Fenty Beauty and the one thing she knows will stop you from ever becoming a professional makeup artist. In the meantime, you can stay up to date with me. My artistry account on Instagram is at BethWilson_MUA, or you can follow St. Jack the brand at By St. Jack, that's BY St. Jack, or you can find me on TikTok at St. Jack Cosmetics or at Beth in Beauty. Cannot wait, guys. See you on the next one. Bye.